Ariel Pitka, artist, athlete, and adventurer. Thank you so much for hosting us here at your home in Venice Beach, California. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Thanks for coming all the way from London to visit me.
You are so, so welcome. So, Ariel, here is what's happening. What I have here is a deck of 50 cards with questions designed to reveal how you have navigated your creative experience so far. These questions have been created based on thousands of conversations that we've had with the very best in the creative industries. Each card is designed to not just give us an insight into our guest process and journey so far, but also reveal those nuggets that our listeners can take into their own creative lives. Do you have any questions for me?
Yes, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to chat with you.
It's
awesome.
Same here.
Awesome. It's time to shuffle. And whilst I do that, I'm going to introduce you to our listeners. You ready?
Sure.
Cool. Ariel, you were born in 1990 to a highly creative family, and you grew up traveling around the world with your dad, mum, and sister from the moment you were born, with the camera lens a natural extension of how you experienced the world, creating a vast photographic archive from a young age.
That is correct.
Okay. Your photography is now shown around the world alongside the likes of Nan Goldin, Wolfgang Tillmans, and your love of landscapes can be seen in your music videos.
Hell yeah.
Amazing. So your career was cemented at age 15 when you decided to leave school and sail across the Atlantic in a vintage boat from the 1930s. And you've been in the water ever since, winning major sailing regattas as well as surfing with the Quicksilver Roxy team. Crucially, though, for this podcast at least, you've said that it was that first transatlantic adventure that left you determined to live a non-traditional, intentionally creative life. And it was around that time that you began to very seriously paint. Today, your recent large-scale abstract acrylics, inspired by the colours, textures and maps of your adventures, have been exhibited to great acclaim, and your photographic projects, some of which span over a decade in the making, have been shown at Photo Paris, Photo London and are showing during Art Basel Miami. And so, Ariel, as a fellow lover of the ocean and creativity, welcome to the Creative Blood Experience.
Thank you so much for that very thorough and well-researched introduction.
We can thank the producer for that. I can see that you have what looks like a shoulder ailment. Talk to me about that.
I am absolutely going stir crazy. I broke my shoulder about 8 weeks ago. So for me to be stagnant for that long is not the norm. I'm usually very, very active. So I've been learning a reluctant lesson in radical patience.
Amazing.
Which is, you know, very important as well.
Yeah. What would you have been doing during that period? Is there anything in particular that you had planned, or is there anything that you would have been doing no matter what had you not injured yourself?
Yes, I was actually supposed to be kayaking through the Grand Canyon for the entire month. So that
as you do.
Got put on the back burner, and then I was going to get
was
started.
That for fun?
That was for fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. And have you done that before?
Yes, I did it in August. I was invited on this incredible trip with 20 strangers. I knew one person in the group. I had no idea what to expect. And I just turned up and everybody turned out to be so lovely. And to be off the grid for almost 2 weeks was one of the greatest experiences. I mean, to be in that ancient canyon where, you know, everything is crumbling under your feet. You have to be on high alert at all times. And then just traveling, you know, miles and miles on the river every day, going from, you know, being on the river all day and then going to your next camp. It's just an incredible way to see this national park that, by the way, there's like a 10-year wait list just to get in there. So this was definitely not an opportunity I was going to pass up.
Incredible. Did you feel physically ready for it, or did you just have to jump in and get on with it?
I didn't train for it, but I'm the type of person that never stops moving. So it wasn't too far of a stretch from what I usually do. I have an absurd amount of energy at all times. So I do long runs and long swims and surfing and things like that to channel that energy so that I can then go into the studio and not have my brain going a million miles an hour. So being, you know, active like that from sunrise to sundown is not out of the norm. I mean, it was definitely challenging.
Yeah.
And after that, I was going to get started on an art exhibition that I'm having next year in Paris. Another series of my large-scale abstract paintings of the Archipelago series, I call it. So that has also been put on pause. So by the time I am better, I'm going to have to get to work.
You will. And do you think you'll work differently as a result of that?
I think it's going to be a lot more focused. I'm not going to have too much time to play around. So it's going to be no distractions and, you know, one goal. I usually kind of have a bunch of different projects going at the same time, but I'm going to have to be completely 100% focused on this in order to execute what I have in my head, which is also a great way to work.
It's time to play. Choose your 10 cards. Please don't look at any of them. And I do need to inform you that there are two wild cards in the deck that contain slightly punchier questions and a dealer's choice, which means I get to ask you a question created specifically for you. And here's hoping we get that one today. You can pass on one question and one question only. You pick 10. You can go top, middle, or bottom. Anything that you want. Go for it, go for it.
Maybe I'll pull from the bottom.
Okay, well done. You're into cards or not really?
I mean, I've played cards, but yeah. nothing like this.
Oh, God. Okay. Don't be looking.
Oh.
Very specific. 5, 6, 7, 8.
One more, and then this one.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Cool. That's 10. Okay, interesting.
Uh-oh.
No, nothing bad, nothing bad. You picked well. I do have a dealer's choice. I'm going to leave that one a little bit till last. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Question number one.
Okay.
Describe your ideal creative environment using all five senses.
I guess it would depend what medium I'm working in.
Okay. Pick
so
one.
So if I was painting.
Yeah.
So this is something I actually have not yet done, but that I've been dreaming of doing, is setting up an outdoor studio somewhere, making kind of these large, not four, but three walls. So with an open ceiling, covering them all with large canvases, painting them in the daytime, and then letting the elements kind of paint as well. So the sun and the rain and the moisture and the dryness. So maybe this kind of elevated platform with three walls and just exposed maybe out in a field somewhere or out in a forest somewhere. That's something that I've been dreaming of doing, but haven't quite done it yet. And I actually cannot take credit for that idea because I believe Julian Schnabel had a similar setup at his home in Montauk. And I remember seeing photos of it. And it just made so much sense when I would see his paintings. You know, things happen on the canvas that you know were not the human hand. You can tell that it was, you know, the sun bleaching that fabric a certain way. And I really like the idea of nature playing a part in a painting. So that would be my ideal painting scenario.
What does it smell like?
It smells like jasmine and fresh cut grass.
Do we have a location anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world. Okay. Sumba, Indonesia.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Do they have jasmine in Indonesia?
If it's in Indonesia, it'll probably smell like some kind of campfire and the ocean. That would be good too.
Okay. What would it feel like? Touch.
It would feel humid.
What would it sound like?
It would sound like the waves.
What would it taste like?
It would taste like fresh cut papaya with lime, because that's what I would be eating.
Okay, I'm coming. When are you going? I'm there. I'm totally there. Okay, all right. Amazing. Thank you. Okay, question number two. What's your favorite tool, analog, digital, or mental, for keeping your process moving?
My favorite tool... Probably my camera, because that's something that's always with me. And as soon as something catches my eye, you know, I will snap a shot, and it's always in my bag, in my car. So I'd say that's probably my favorite tool.
And what happens to those photographs? Where do you archive them?
So I actually spent most of the pandemic archiving all my negatives from the last, you know, 15, 20 years. And it was a huge job, but I'm so glad that I did it.
How long did it take you?
It took me maybe 3-4 months to do it properly. I do have them in digital form, but I keep my photo prints and negatives in these old bank deposit boxes in my dark room.
Amazing.
It's taken me a while.
Wow. So it was sort of having that time was priceless.
Oh yeah.
Really.
I really try to make the most of every situation, kind of like I am now with this injury, you know, just taking care of things and trying to learn, you know, new languages and just make the most of the situation.
What are you learning? What language
learning
is it?
Italian. Sto imparando l'italiano.
Amazing. Well, how are you getting on? Are you doing it online?
Yeah, so I have a couple different. I have Rosetta Stone, and I have this new app that I love called Language Transfer. And you're basically listening to an instructor teach someone else. And instead of memorization, he teaches you a set of rules so that you can actively translate things as you're thinking of them instead of, you know, memorizing vocabulary and conjugation. So that's been really fun.
Well, they're tools. Thanks a lot for throwing that one in.
Yeah, that's a good tool.
That's an awesome tool. Okay, and that's part of your process.
Absolutely.
To keep you stimulated as well, because obviously the space to have the thought and the ability to sort of dream, but equally to be stimulated, to inspire.
Oh, constantly. I think my favorite pastime is learning. And I think that's why I also work in so many different mediums, because it's a learning process. Every time I start a new project, I'm learning as I go. And that's why, the term multimedia artist comes into the conversation, as you know, cheesy as that might sound.
No, it's true. You are. That's who you are. Own it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Cool. Next question. Who is the person who challenges you the most?
Is it bad if I say myself?
No, it's not bad. If it's the truth.
I mean, it is the truth. I'm so hard on myself. I think my own criticism is a huge driving force. I never think something is good enough. And as soon as I've finished something, I'm already on to the next. I mean, even some paintings I made last year, I don't even want to look at them anymore. So, but I mean, if aside from being hard on myself, I think, you know, my father has been a huge influence in my life, and he's an artist as well. He's a filmmaker. I think that he's a huge driving force as well, because he never stops working. He's constantly, constantly pushing himself to be better. And I think that his perfectionism has definitely rubbed off on me in a big way, for better or for worse.
Yeah. And I think it's important to mention your dad, because you've brought him up. I didn't.
Sure.
I think it's really interesting, because that push, when it comes from somewhere, that's a big part of why we challenge ourselves, or it comes from somewhere.
You know, we had this conversation recently where, you know, I have a tendency to have some kind of imposter syndrome, you know, and he's 84 now, and he's like, I still have that, you know, and he has had an incredible career. And he goes, the second you think you know what you're doing is the second you've lost it, because you should always be a little nervous about what you're doing next. And if, you know, what you're doing or what you're trying to do doesn't scare you a little bit, you probably aren't trying hard enough.
I'm with you. Yeah, it's so true. So true. Thanks for being that honest.
Of course.
Yeah, appreciate it.
You know,
it's a big one, you know, for every person doing anything and everything. It doesn't matter where you are in your career, it touches you at a certain point. You know, it's good. It's actually, so there's a healthy part of it, I think.
Absolutely. I think that it's a huge characteristic of most artists, you know, that imposter syndrome. Because as soon as you think you've got it, I don't know, it you know, you become arrogant and pompous. Yeah, I think that's, at least I've noticed, and all the artists I admire, that's a huge part of who they are.
Yeah.
You know, even though it leads to a bit of, you know, insecurity and all that, but that's just part of it.
that's a driving force.
Yeah.
Question number four. You ready? Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, great.
Honestly, thank you for this. How do you tell the difference between a crazy idea and a brilliant one?
Oh, I don't think you can tell the difference. I think the crazy ideas are the brilliant ones. And the more people kind of doubt you, I think the more you should lean into that idea. I've had loads of ideas where people think I'm just nuts, and then you do it, and then you just do it.
So what was that? So is there a specific project you had in mind?
Well, yeah. I mean, even just my idea to leave traditional school and become a sailor and go across the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, nobody was behind that idea except for
you,
me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had to fight and fight and fight to convince my family that I had a good head on my shoulders and that I was capable and that I would continue my studies and stay driven in the things that I wanted to do. But, you know, when you're 15 years old and you're trying to convince everyone around you that you're responsible enough to drop out of high school, it's like people look at you like you're insane. But I just wouldn't let it go. There was no way I wasn't going to not do that, you know? I think the crazier the idea, the better. Just go with it.
What's the best way to approach people that you want to work with?
I'm definitely a letter writer. I've had pen pals all throughout my life. I love writing. So if it was something I wanted badly enough, writing a letter is definitely something I would do.
Have you ever done it?
You know, I've never like sought out someone's address or anything, but I've definitely reached out to people through Instagram and just, you know, said how much their work has inspired me. And sometimes they respond and sometimes they don't. I mean, I even left a comment on there's this photographer named Bill Henson who I adore. And his photos are very dark and somewhat controversial, actually. And there's some photos from a book that he published called Nemesine. And I've used those photos as studies for some of my paintings and some of my drawings. And I just left a comment on a photo. And I just said, you know, you've been such a huge inspiration to me. And, you know, he like immediately responded. And I, you know, that was like, that felt good.
Yeah.
Like I would have had no way to access this person or let this person know how much they've inspired me. And here it happened in about 30 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's amazing about the way we're all connected these days. And it's a tool that you can use to your benefit for sure.
Yeah.
When used appropriately.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the next question, I'm really interested in knowing what you think to this one. You picked it, so it's come up for a reason. I wonder if you've ever had this experience. So the person holding the budget is lovely, but their ideas are terrible.
You're so true.
Okay. All right, get ready for the next part. Do you agree to try them knowing that they'll not come off, or do you push back right from the beginning?
Oh, I push.
Okay, bring it. Come on.
Yeah,
tell us.
I've been lucky to, and also probably strategic, to only put myself in situations where I have creative control. And a lot of times where I've had to collaborate with people, it's been comments like, for videos I've done in post-production where they want it edited a certain way. And so we kind of compromise. But for the most part, I try to not put myself in situations where I have to compromise my vision. But obviously it does happen, but I will fight.
All right.
Will fight to the end.
Amazing. You're going to fight. I got that bit.
Yeah.
You're going to sort of push back from the off. But is the budget where's the focus? What's the balance?
No, the focus is always the work. If the budget is amazing and the ideas are bad, I will mostly say I'm not the person for the job, because if I can't get behind something, I'm just not going to do a good job, even if it makes, you know, financial sense. I would rather somebody else do it if I can't see myself being able to execute it with passion and enthusiasm. Then I'd rather just pass on the project.
Okay. Do you feel pressure to constantly stay relevant with new trends?
Absolutely not.
Keep going.
I'm drawn to things from the past and history and things, and not so much staying relevant at all. I mean, it took years to get me to have an Instagram account.
Is that true?
Yes.
So, what's that rooted in? Like, where does that sort of lack of... Because the thing is that what is relevance, right? You sort of... the minute you get on it, it's past, potentially.
Yeah.
So where does that come from? The, like, zero interest in whatever relevant means today?
I think I'm...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Can we Google... What is the dictionary explanation of relevance? Because you may be relevant without knowing it. Hold on.
Perhaps. Should I ask Siri?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Hey Siri, what is the definition of relevance?
Relevance means the quality or state of being closely connected or appropriate.
Connected or appropriate? Well, that is you.
I suppose.
So what do we do now? The question, I don't know. Do we change the question?
Yeah, I mean...
So connected and what was the other? And appropriate.
I guess, yeah, I definitely feel connected to the things I care about because it's the only thing I put my energy towards. So I guess being relevant is unique to each person, depending on what their focus is.
That makes you relevant.
Great, I'm glad.
Perfect. Okay. Right, next question. What do you do to maintain your creative spark and avoid burnout? Have you had burnout?
Oh yeah, many times. Many times. I have a tendency to overdo everything, you know, whether it's physically or in the studio, or, you know, I definitely push myself to a point where I then have to take a break. How do I keep my creative spark? You know, I've always had this internal fire to just, what's next? What can I learn? What can I do? What can I see? Where can I go? I think travel is a big part of it. Just being exposed to new places all the time. That's hugely inspiring to me.
Well, name the last five places you've been.
The last five places I've been.
Yeah. Or three, if that's easier.
All right.
No pressure, sorry.
Colorado.
Yeah.
The Caribbean.
Yeah.
And the Canary Islands.
Keep going. Two more. That was too easy.
Let's see. Mexico.
Yeah.
And Hawaii.
I think we can clearly say that that spark is in you.
It's there.
It's there. And it's being fed.
And I think being in nature is the greatest inspiration in my life. I think just being away from people and being either in the ocean or in the forest or in the mountains, that keeps me going. That finding that solitude in nature is always a huge driving force because it recharges my batteries and then I can come back stronger and better and more clear-headed.
Ariane, what role does collaboration play in your creative process?
Well, when I make my films, that's always a collaboration because you're working with a crew and a team and, you know, a lot of times they're music videos. So I'm working with an artist to kind of help them make this audio into a visual piece of art. So that's always a given. But on a kind of deeper level, any art project that I start is some kind of collaboration because it's usually inspired by something I've read or a photograph I've seen. So, you know, what's that saying? Good artists copy, great artists steal. So with that in mind, everything is kind of a collaboration with something else that you've seen, whether the viewer knows that or not. It's rare that someone makes something unique. It's nearly impossible these days. That's what makes art so interesting, right? Is to see where, you know, the evolution of an idea, where it started to where it ended, is a whole process, I guess. Makes sense.
If I was to ask one of your collaborators, for example, like, what are you like to collaborate with?
What would they say?
Yeah, what do you think you're like to collaborate with?
I think that it's very much like the train has left the station and there's no stopping it.
Oh, right.
If I'm being perfectly honest,
yeah.
A lot of people come to me because they trust what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
At least I hope so. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't be coming to me.
You're a force, right? Because you've got that energy that's going to bring in that sense of collaboration. It's a leadership role. What you've got, because you're translating the vision, you know, so there's a lot of responsibility.
It's a lot of responsibility. And I don't take that trust in that they put in me. I don't take it lightly. Whatever I'm working on, it's because I really care.
Right. Last question, dealer's choice. So you've been described as a Renaissance woman because of your success in sport, painting, and smile. This is you. This is all you. You did it, not me. I'm reading back to you what you've done. So you've been described as a Renaissance woman because of your success in sport, painting, photography, and film. And arguably, we are in a multi-hyphenate age where few creatives can get away with wearing single hats. So it would be interesting to know through it all, how do you maintain a clarity of vision? How do you sort of like, what's the gear? What's the thing that switches you in to each of those areas?
It's just completely organic. I go from project to project based on what speaks to me at that time. And I think when you mention people wearing many hats, I kind of see my entire life as one big art project.
So let's just say you're kayaking down the Grand Canyon, mm-hmm. right? Which is, you know, fabulous in itself. Are you thinking of a painting?
Absolutely. I made a Grand Canyon painting as soon as I got back.
Okay. So this is perfect. So basically, and I really didn't know that. So how do you maintain a clarity of vision if you've got your eyes on just making sure you're not doing Eskimo rolls? Because I know canoeing. Don't worry, I'm a master canoer. So basically, you have to make sure that you're navigating the course and you're keeping up with the 19 others that you're with.
Right.
It's a physically and emotionally testing experience. But somehow, you're describing that you're still sort of feeling this like, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to paint when I come out the other side.
Well, I definitely try to stay present in dangerous situations, but I'm soaking in everything and just seeing the textures and the colors and all of that, just kind of putting it in the memory bank while trying to stay present, which is not easy because my mind does wander. You know, I'm like, oh, when I get home, I'm going to make this painting. It's going to be great. But then, okay, crap, there's a rapid coming up, you know?
Yeah.
But I, you know, as soon as I landed in LA, I got a good night's sleep, and first day home, I went to the studio and I got to work. So, you know, like I said earlier, it's just organic. It's like one thing leads into the next, which leads into the next. So, you know, a trip through the canyon led to me making a painting, which then led to me wanting to make, you know, another series that about, you know, different land formations, because my series before were islands, and then now I'm doing canyons, and then it made me think about maybe I want to do mountains, and then, you know, do all kinds of different topography. So it is just like this constant thing that leads into the next, And it can be a bit overwhelming in my brain sometimes about trying to keep track of all the things. And that's taken me years to kind of focus in. But I think, you know, amongst all that spontaneity and all the travel, I think that maintaining kind of a routine
yeah.
of, you know, waking up, doing some sort of physical activity in the morning to kind of get myself, you know, get rid of the excess energy to then be able to go in the studio and focus. Having that routine when I am able to have a routine helps a lot in maintaining clarity when it comes to my projects. And then when I'm off on an adventure, you know, then things, you can kind of let the clutch out a little bit.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, but it's having that duality of doing whatever you want, whenever you want on some crazy adventure and then coming home and doing the polar opposite.
Yeah.
Being really disciplined and strict with, you know, with my health and my routine and making sure that even if I feel like I'm having an off day or I don't want to go to the studio, still going. And even if all you do is check emails and reorganize your tools, that at least you're in the space.
Yeah.
So that when inspiration does arise, you can seize that moment because it's, you know,
it's like staying ahead.
Yeah. And it's like exercising a muscle, you know, exercising your creative brain. It's sometimes you get inspired and you go and you make the best thing you've ever made. And then sometimes it's tedious and you have to just go into the studio like a 9-to-5 job and just hope that it's going to come. And then eventually it does come.
Yep.
You know?
Day by day.
Yeah.
So, Ariel, they are your 10 cards. And before we go for a swim, is there anything that you'd like to plug or to tell the listeners about?
In March of 2024, yes, I'm having a solo exhibition at the Galerie Sophie Scheidecker in Paris. I've had this idea for a very long time and I'm very excited to get to work on it. And yeah, would love for everyone to come and check it out.
Amazing. Game on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
amazing,
much.
Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. Awesome. Over and out.
Over and out.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you don't miss a single drop of the Creative Blood Experience by subscribing and following the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And share it with a fellow creative. Let's get these conversations out there and into the ears of those who need to hear them. This show was created in partnership with the brilliant humans here at Creative Blood and Scenery Studios. Thanks for listening.